We are continuing in chapter 8 of book of John, and so we will start from verse 12. So please turn your Bible there. Since we are living in the area, in the state where we have 500 sunshine days a week, a year, we don't realize how much human body and human mind requires light. Human body requires light. Do you know there is illness known as a seasonal affective disorder, and known as a SAD, S-A-D. It refers to a depression that occurs every year when the fall and winter comes. And patients get better during the springtime and summertime because there's a whole lot more sunshine days. Guess which state within the United States has more SAD patients than any other state? Washington and Oregon. You know that. Why? Because they have a more rainy day than any other state within 48 continent. And, of course, those two states are known as the capital state of suicide. No wonder, right? That's why some of the hardcore prison inmates end up in the known as hole, tiny cell, very, very tiny cell. It's about, they can barely lay down. And there's no window. The door is a solid metal. And there's a little hole. The guard come in and look at them inside. Sometimes, to give them further punishment, they even turn off the light within the cell. Guess what? It's a pitch dark inside. People cannot thrive or survive spiritually without sunlight. That spells S-O-N, light. So far, Jesus claimed to be the Messiah in chapter 4, and bread of life in chapter 6, and the living water in chapter 7. And chapter 8, now Jesus Christ claimed to be the light of the world. The other people around the world may not understand what it means, but these ancient Jews, especially ancient Jewish religious rulers, understood clearly what he meant. And they understood his claim, and they hate him all the more. Let's step into the woman's court where Jesus extended his mercy to remember the woman who caught in the adultery. And he extended mercy to her. He forgave her, told her to go sin no more. And this is the same place where the religious rulers came back to regroup and to attack them. Okay, we'll start at the verse 12. We will pray first. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence and seeking your wisdom to understand your intention of your scripture. We just don't want to know your scripture, but we want to know your heart, that we may do what is right in your sight. We may do the things that please you, please your heart. The most of all, we want to reflect your light onto our lives, that other people around us may see us, rather, may see you through us. Father, we pray for the President Obama, for his salvation. And we pray for the safety of our troops and law enforcement personnel, sheriff deputies and police officers, federal agents, all the people who are involved, and the firefighters, especially the one like our assistant pastor, Merrill Simon, who is fighting against this wildfire in Nogales. And we pray for the law enforcement agent who comes to our church especially, and firefighters. You protect them. You keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12 of chapter 8, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who followed me shall not walk in darkness and have the light of life. Our Jesus Christ claim that he is the light of the world. And the light and the darkness are a recurring theme in the book of John, as you have already noticed. And not only in the book of John, also in the first John of the Apostle John, one of his letters. So let's go, keep your finger on chapter 8, go to chapter 1 of the book of John. John 1:5. This is a prologue of the John. It started at the end, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. And it expounds more in 1 John 1:5. So keep your finger there in chapter 8 again. Go turn to your right. Go to 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him, declares to you that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Again, God is light, and while the Satan is the power of darkness. And people loved either light or darkness. And their love controlled their actions and eternal destination. Now, this time I'm going to ask you to go to chapter 3 of John, verse 19. Chapter 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to light. Note that. Let me read that portion one more time, verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to light, lest his deed should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to light, that his deed may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Is that clear enough to you? It is to me. During the Feast of Tabernacle, also known as the Sukkot, and there is a great ceremony called the Illumination of Temple, which involved the ritual lighting of the 4 golden oiled lamp in the court of the women. See that these lamps are huge menorah candelabras, which are 75 feet tall. This one was located in the main street in Jerusalem. I took a picture of this. It's about probably taller than my height. With the boots on, I can be almost a fake 6 feet, but it was taller than me. And this, the menorah they had in the court of women, the first century, is 75 feet tall. Do you know how tall that is? It was 6 stories high. And each top had a 65-gallon oil tank on the top. And the Levites and the Pharisees used their worn-out clothing as a wick to light up that thing. So think about this. This is standing against the wall like this and lighting up 65 gallons of them, 7 of them. There are 4 of them side by side. So 28 candles, more like a searchlight, is lighting up the whole wall. It's reflecting entire city at night. During the ceremony, people could see this thing, and this is the representation of how God led the Israelites during the wilderness time, leading them by the pillar of fire and guiding them. And all night long, this brilliance was illuminating the entire city. And also, this light represents to the Israeli people God's Shekinah glory that came down during the time when King Solomon dedicated the first temple to God. In celebration and anticipation, the holiest of the God, Israel's men danced and sang psalms of joy and praise before the Lord. This festival was the reminder God has promised to send the light, that's with a capital L, and to the sin-dark world. And God promised to send the Messiah to renew Israel's glory and release them from the bondage and restore their joy. Great concept. Imagine you are in the ancient Israel right now, in the middle of the Feast of the Tabernacle. Imagine you seeing this massive menorah, 4 of them against the wall, and light up at night. Remember that image. And then Jesus speaking to you after the Feast of Tabernacle, I am the light of the world. All of a sudden, it clicking into their minds. Oh, you are talking about that light, the one who came to us and gave us light and throughout the wilderness and representing the one true God. You know, just for the side note, in early 1970s, some of you may remember a very popular song, You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone. Some of you guys remember? How many of you guys remember? You just dated yourself. Radio station DJs could not play this song enough a day because it was so popular. For 10 weeks, it was on top of the Billboard chart. It was a very romantic love song. But some Christians during that time believed that it was a Christian song because you light up my life. However, they are not really concerned about the lyrics. Last portion of the lyrics, it says, it can't be wrong when it feels so right because you light up my life. We don't follow Jesus because it feels so right. Okay? We walk by faith, not by sight. Some Christians think that, well, if it feels so right, it must be right. That's how they get messed up. We don't follow God by the sight. We don't follow God how we feel. We follow God how we have a faith in God. You have to understand, we don't do the things just because Mormon said this. There's a fire in their bosom. Oh, I have that when I eat pizza. Well, I have that because acid reflux, I have that kind of thing often. I have a bad enchilada that happens. Folks, you cannot feel by your feeling. You cannot go by that feeling, but you can go by what the Word of God says. Amen? No extra charge for that one. To follow the Lord Jesus meant to believe on Him, to trust in Him. The result are the life and the light for the believer. Unbelievers are walking in darkness because they love darkness. They love what they're doing is sin. But if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He provides protection and guidance with His illumination through the Word of God. Let's go back to the Israel's journey in the wilderness. In Acts chapter 14, remember, they just left Egypt, heading to the Promised Land. And they came to this Red Sea. Uh-oh, there's no bridge, there's no pontoon boat, where is the cruise line? Who scheduled this thing? And they were angry at Moses. And they looked behind. All of a sudden, you see the dust cloud coming up from the horizon. They realize the entire Egyptian army is chasing you. It's really between the rock and the hot place, don't you think? Red Sea, you cannot cross, and the Egyptian army is to slaughter you. But you've been following this pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of the fire at night. All of a sudden, the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire moved backward, stood between Israeli camp and Egyptian camp. Pillar of the fire stood right behind Israeli camp and gave them light and night. At the same time, pillar of cloud stood in front of Egyptian army. They could not see anything because it's so dark. You with me on that? What does it mean? If you follow God, God will provide you guidance with the illumination through His Word. But if you're not following God, to you, God is darkness. The same God The same God who protects Israelites from the harm's way of Egyptian army will keep you, and he will protect you, will bless you, if you only obey him and trust him. Verse 13, please. The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness myself, my witness is not true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I came from, where I am going. You judge according to flesh. I judge no one. Yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." Did you notice the immediate hostility from Pharisees? Why such a hostility against Jesus? It seems that they are against him for no matter what, for anything and everything, whatever he said, whatever he did, including all the miracles he did, they were against him. None of them were good enough for them to reconsider their twisted opinion about him. It is because they clearly understood that Jesus claimed to be God. The word light, according to Jewish terminology and the scripture, was a title reserved for one person alone, God. So when Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, this first century Bible egghead understood what it meant. He claimed to be God. And you may wonder, okay, preacher, where do you find the God and light connection? Well, let's go there. Psalm 27:1. Since you ask, Psalm 27:1. We start to memorize this verse. The Lord is what? My light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This time go to Isaiah chapter 60, please. Isaiah 60. Chapter 60, verse 19. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor the brightness shall be the moon give light to you. The Lord will be to you an everlasting light, your God and your glory. Now this time go to Job 29. Job 29, verse 3. One before the Psalm. Job 29. When his lamp shone upon my head, when by his light I walked through darkness. There's another one. Micah 7, please. Micah 7. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be what? A light to me. You may remember this when we studied the book of Luke a few years ago, as a matter of fact, 2007. Remember when Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, took him to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. And there was an old man. It was a really old man. I think they are about the same age as Pastor Jack and Jerry Hemby. This old man took the baby Jesus into his arm and prophesied. So this time go to Luke chapter 2, please. For my eyes have seen your salvation, Simeon speaking to the Lord, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Notice this. A light to bring the revelation to the Gentile and glory to your people, Israel. Back to chapter 8 in John. In verse 13, the Pharisees was quoting what Jesus said in chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus said, "If I just witness myself, Let's go there. Chapter 5, verse 31, since I'm quoting it. Chapter 5, verse 31. If I bear my witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me. I know that the witness is which I witness of me is true. You have sent to John, and he goes on. He used John, he used the Word of God, and he used the Father as witnesses. In this case, he knows his witness, his own testimonial. He knows where he came from. Bethlehem, not Nazareth. However, they do not know. He knows where he's going because him being a God himself, he knows where he's going. They don't. Because they do not have a spiritual knowledge. In chapter 5, verse 13, he claimed this. However, they quickly refuted their argument. One of the key words, this section, is a witness. It is used 7 times, and Jesus made it clear that their witness is not dependable because their judgment was faulty. They judged on the basis of external and mere human judgment. But he judged on the basis of spiritual knowledge and the truth they did not have. The way they judged a woman taken in adultery proved that they did not understand the law and they had a twisted, sinful heart. You agree? The medical science has been improved tremendously. So it can extend people's lives much longer than 19th century, even 20th century. It is one thing, listen, it is one thing for you to live longer, but it is another thing to have a better life. And only Jesus can add life to human years. Just like a flower won't blossom without sunlight, our lives will never be what it ought to be without the light of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the people without Jesus would follow anything to figure out their confused and disoriented mind. Good example, Lindsay Lohan, Charlie Sheen. They have all the money in the world, and they have no. They are self-destructing. How would you like to drive blindfolded on I-19? And some of you think, that's what they're doing anyway. Without Jesus, people are driving their life blindfolded. Do you agree? Where do you think they are going to end up? Crash and burn, spiritually and literally. Now, go down to verse 17, please. It is also written in the law, your law, that testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, and you know neither me nor my Father. If you have known me, and you would have known my Father also. This word that Jesus spoken to in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. You know, when you do the debate, when you're talking with the people about Jesus Christ, once they start to attack you in person, instead of talking about debate topic, and when they start to talk about you in person, you know you won that debate. Because they ran out of things to say, they start to attack you in person. So we find the religious leaders. Now they are attacking him with a personal slur. They intend this as a deeply cutting insult against Jesus. They refer to his so-called, in their mind, virgin birth. And his miracle's birth. In their mind, he is nothing more than offspring of the illegitimate relationship. You would think that blind sinner would welcome the light, but such is not always the case. The coming of the true light brought the conflict, the power between powers of the darkness opposed. And they rather make the fun of the gospel and the truth of God in the Bible, since they choose not to comprehend the truth by their own choice. Good example, you go to college, university. All these liberal university professors will make fun of your faith in Jesus Christ. They will do anything to demolish your children's faith. They make fun of their faith. How tragic that these experts of the law, Pharisees, did not even know their own Messiah as he stood before them. They claimed to know the law of God, but they did not know the God of the law. They did not have the word abiding in their heart, nor did they experience his love. They did not know the Father, therefore they did not know the Son. Simple math. Jesus never really answered their question, where is your Father? But the word Father mentioned it 21 times in this chapter. So what Jesus did, he went straight ahead with them. And he knew that their Father was not God, rather devil. And these people are religious, but they are the children of Satan. Whenever Jesus taught the spiritual truth, his listeners interpreted with the material thing or the physical things. Light of God was unable to penetrate their darkened heart. Why? Because they put up their own walls. Folks, listen up. Listen. Pay attention here, please. I'm almost done, so when the preacher said almost done, don't hang on that thing, though. People walk away from God. People shun God, not because it's not true. Because they don't, as we just read in John chapter 3, verse 20, they don't want their sin to be revealed. That's the bottom line. The liberal people, unbelievers, don't want God because they want to continue in their sins. It appeals to their sensual desires. And then they blame God. Right now, some of you are hiding inside of a spiritual dungeon that you don't hear the truth of God. He wants to set you free from the bondage of Satan has upon you. You don't have to live in the darkness. God loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to you. How much more can he do? He sacrificed his Son for your life, for your eternal soul. You can step out of that darkness into the light of the world. All you have to do is just say, okay, God, I'm done with this mess of my life. All right, let's make two applications. Number one, people love either light, that's Jesus, or darkness, that's Satan. This love controls their actions and their eternal destination. Number two, to follow the Lord Jesus means to believe in on him and trust him, and result are life and light for the believers. Unbelievers are walking in darkness because they love darkness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for your kindness through Jesus Christ and your mercy. Let us shine your shine. Let us shine your light to this dark, dying world. You empower us. You go with us. You go before us. Yeah. Lighten our path through your word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.